Onward, Lonesome Hero. Carry on, carry on. Part 1 of the Excelsior series. A DCU Comics fanfic. Written by Hobie One. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. With the rating, mature. The archive warning, rape/non-con. The category, Gen. The relationships, Justice League and Clark Kent, and Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne. Additional tags, Wump. Enemy to Caretaker. Angst with a happy ending. Clark Kent needs a hug. Lex Luthor being an asshole. Abuse. Kidnapping. Implied referenced rape/non-con. Hurt comfort and dehumanization. Summary. After doing Lex's bidding for over a decade, Superman has forgotten what it's like to be treated like a person. Or, the Justice League captures Superman. Clark Kent waits for the penny to drop. The Justice League put a cot in Superman's cell. Awash in the artificial glow of the overhead lights, the cot seems like a beacon, welcoming him home. He doesn't sleep on it. He's not a complete idiot, however little Lex thinks of his mind. He curls up on the floor beside it. For a fleeting moment, he thinks about reaching out and snagging the blanket to wrap around himself. That would be cheating, though. And while the Justice League seems to favor softer methods than what Lex prefers, choosing to keep the artificial red sunlight levels high, rather than pinning him in place with kryptonite, he isn't taking any chances. It would almost be worth it, if it weren't for the blinking camera in the corner. Clark can see it in his mind's eye, as clear as a trail stretching before him. He'd reach for the blanket and have about 2 seconds of comfort before someone would burst in. Wonder Woman with her lasso, Green Lantern with his ring, Batman with his fists. Superman presses his cheek against the rough, gray floor. It's cold. Everything is always cold, even on the days when he has the sun. They take him into an interrogation room when he's only half awake. Wonder Woman wraps the lasso around his wrists, and he resists the urge to yank it away. "Did you kill them?" Wonder Woman asks. "Great start." "You're going to have to be more specific," Superman says. "I've killed a lot of people. Statistically, there's a high probability that at least someone on your list is one of them." Wonder Woman recites the names, and Superman can tell. She kept those names close, held tight with angry and grieving hands, and she memorized their names. To give them something, after there is nothing left of them to give this to. Respect. Apology. Personhood. Superman knows because he memorized every single one of them, too. "Please," Superman says wearily. "Please just stop." "Why did you kill them?" Wonder Woman asks. "Because I'm going to save the world." Superman blanches at the words almost as soon as he says them. They're old, forgotten words, belonging to two boys, or a boy and not a boy, standing on a hill, hands tight in each other's grasp. "You and me, Clark," 12-year-old Lex had said, eyes wide with what Clark thought at the time to be wonder. Superman knows better. "We're going to save the world." Something flickers across Wonder Woman's face. Superman thinks it might be disgust, but it's gone before he can be sure. "The only danger to the world worth such extreme measures is the one sitting in front of me right now," Wonder Woman says. Superman closes his eyes. It's a shame she and Lex are on opposite sides. He has a feeling they would get along. "It's a small planet in the grand scheme of things," Superman says softly, "and a big, big galaxy. There are people out there who will go beyond the petty act of murder, who will turn to conquering and subjugation, who will grind the people of this planet under their heel." "And what does that make you?" Wonder Woman asks. "A survivor," Superman's traitorous mouth says. Wonder Woman just looks frustrated, and so Superman braces himself for the pain to start. The pain doesn't come. Wonder Woman leaves without her answers, and Superman is left near shaking in the interrogation room. But he isn't shaking. He isn't. He knows how to hold still, how to keep his body calm even when everything else is betraying him. But it's the almost that gets him. He shouldn't be this affected by a simple game of truth. She could have asked the right questions. She could have made him reveal everything. And Lex, well, Lex isn't here, but he has to know that the Justice League has him. He'll find a way to take Superman back and discover that he almost revealed the great plan. And it will hurt. It always hurts. Superman is just grass to Lex, and it's with careless precision that Lex trims all the bad parts away. When Clark was 15, he learned about grass. "Hop up," Lex told him, nodding at the steel table. Clark did so, his legs dangling off the edge. Above him was a bare light bulb, which felt like something that shouldn't be in the basement of a man as rich as Lex's father. But Mr. Luther never went downstairs. Clark had a feeling that he viewed what Lex did in the basement the same way he viewed everything else Lex did. Out of sight, out of mind. Clark understood why. It was always best not to think too hard about what Lex was doing, even when he was doing it to Clark. Especially then. "Are you taking more blood today?" Clark asked. He watched Lex handle the tray. His hands were deft, with long, thin fingers, and they seemed better suited to playing the piano than anything else. Sometimes, if Clark behaved himself well enough, Lex would play something for him. "I want to see if your skin can scream," Lex said. For a moment, Clark felt like he was blinking underwater. This was not an unusual circumstance. Lex had a way of talking that didn't have any emotion in it, but somehow managed to make Clark feel stupid. It was usually best to nod along and pretend he understood. "Skin can't scream," Clark said, although there was a note of uncertainty in his voice. "Grass can," Lex said. He selected a thin shave of kryptonite he liked using for a scalpel. "Grass cannot," Clark huffed. "Every time you smell a fresh-cut lawn, you're smelling a distress call. The grass is begging nearby animals to come to its aid. But sure, you're right. Grass can't scream." Lex cut Clark's skin, whisper-thin scratches at first, and then gradually deeper and deeper cuts. Clark cried. He couldn't help it. There was no other escape. Lex was around him, above him, behind him, and at times it felt like Lex was inside him. "Be quiet," Lex whispered, his hand over Clark's mouth. "I wanted to listen to your skin, not to you." It comes to Superman at odd moments, the intensity in Lex's eyes, the way Clark leaned into his touch, clear as it was that neither of them wanted it. Lie, 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 all Clark ever did was want. He wishes he could turn into grass completely, an embodiment, or rather, a metamorphosis. He is fairly certain that grass doesn't have a brain, so he doubts it hurts that much for them to be mowed down. Can't feel pain if there's no consciousness of what pain is. Maybe he could ask once Lex takes him home. He doesn't know the logistics of it, but he has a feeling Lex could reach inside and scoop out all the bad parts of Clark still left over. He just needs a tune-up. In the meantime, Batman brings him soup. Superman stares at it blankly. There is a plastic spoon to the right of the bowl, with a napkin neatly folded to the left. The soup is orange and thick, and Superman imagines burying his face in it, drowning in tomato soup. Really, what more could he ask of death? "I could probably kill you with this spoon," Superman says. "Doubtful," says Batman. "I could, if I wanted. So you're lucky I don't." "Eat your soup, Superman." He holds up his hands, waiting for Batman to uncuff his wrists. Batman is slow to do it, and for one horrible, choking moment, Superman thinks that Batman means to spoon-feed it to him. The cuffs unlock with a click, and Superman takes the spoon. "Not going to starve me, I take it," he says.
"Not everyone is like you," Batman says.
Superman eats the soup, his brain trying to wrap around Batman's words. There's a point in there, writhing and spasming with a need to be heard. But Superman can't quite figure out how to pluck it from the mud. "I never starved people," Superman says. Batman looks at him, long and bland and unimpressed.
"You carved your symbol into the chests of everyone you killed."
"After they were already dead," Superman says. "It's not like it hurt them." He agonized over that a little. the thought of doing it while they were still kicking sour. The instructions were clear, though. It had to be done. Lex just never specified when.
You killed them,
Batman repeats. Superman takes a spoonful of soup, so he doesn't have to respond. And another. And another. He doesn't want to talk, partly because he doesn't know what to say, because, yeah, he killed them. That's a thing that happened, no way of getting around it. But he didn't want to, and that has to count for something, right? Eventually, Superman's spoon scrapes the bottom of the bowl. They bring him 3 meals each day. This is probably the worst part of it. He knows that they want him dead. It would be so much easier if they would just kill him already, or, at the very least, let the Martian Manhunter dig around in his mind. And maybe Superman would die from the stress alone of another being combing through his brain. And isn't that a charming idea? He's not sure what their game plan is. Maybe they're waiting for someone to come up with an appropriately grotesque idea for how to get rid of his body. Or maybe they don't have a plan, and they're going to keep him in his cell until they forget to feed him and he starves. He hopes it isn't that last one. He's beginning to like the routine of 3 meals a day, especially since they don't even taste bad. He could kill himself, as his brain helpfully provides. But he thinks Lex might find a way to resurrect him if he does, and the punishment for getting captured will be far less than the punishment for trying to take something away from Lex, even if it's himself. Overall, it's not bad. Selfish as it is, Superman can't help feeling like he's on vacation. There are no missions, no orders, no reports, no bodies. And then he wakes up in a lab. He thinks for one slow, stupid moment that Lex has found him and taken him back. But Batman is looming over him, and Lex could be gentle. Most of the time, he was too busy burning with the righteous anger of having to face Clark's mere existence. But there were times when he touched Clark reverently. In those moments, Clark was more than a freak of nature that Lex needed to pick apart, to calculate strengths and weaknesses, to use before Clark could use himself. He was, as Lex liked to say, a particularly rare and delicate specimen. The last of your kind, Lex would say, with the same overwhelming love of a scientist finding out that dodo birds weren't extinct after all, just one death away from that line. It's a shame there aren't 2 of you, Lex once said. We could try breeding, bringing the great Kryptonian species back. Clark flinched. Lex laughed. He had nice teeth, all gleaming white and perfectly straight. Don't worry, you're enough by yourself, Lex said. I always work with what I have. Lex wrapped his hand around Clark's cock, and Superman remembers being cold. Labs are always cold. He thinks he might be shaking, vibrating the table and the floor beneath. He is an insect pinned to a board, wings stretched thin, just before the point of ripping. Breathe, Lex tells him, hands on his shoulders. Please, 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 just don't, Superman says, and he knows. He knows how pathetic and stupid and weak he sounds. Lex can take whatever he wants, whatever he needs, and Superman should thank him for it. Lex is saving the world, even though it hurts. Even though Superman doesn't like the way Lex is doing it, the world needs him, needs them. But this is different. Superman doesn't see how this will bring them any closer to fulfilling the plan. What do you think is happening right now? Lex asks. I'm sorry, Superman says instantly. He's crying, and he's not supposed to do that, but he thinks of what's happening, what he knows will happen next, and Batman presses a hand to his chest. Breathe, he says. Superman sucks in a sharp breath. Batman hands him water, which he drains. It's only after he lowers the paper cup that he notices the odd expression on Batman's face. Someone hurt you, Batman says. Everyone hurts someone, says Superman. Fact of life. Most people, Batman says, are not hurt to the point of begging. I wasn't,
Superman says. I was reasoned with, and I didn't always like the reasoning.
You were tortured.
Superman frowns. Well, yes, that seems fairly obvious. You were going to torture me as well, if I recall.
I was going to draw your blood,
Batman says, still that eerie, flat calm. I am going to analyze a skin sample. I am not going to torture you. Superman doesn't quite know how to say that both are flexible things, entirely up to the researcher's preferences. Anything can be torture, if the torturer puts their mind to it.
Do you make a habit of getting tortured?
Batman asks. What?
Do you make a habit, Batman asks, of getting tortured?
I would say it's more an occasional weekend hobby than a habitual occupation. Superman says,
Who tortured you?
Batman asks. That's kind of a personal question. Superman says,
You're a high-level threat.
Thanks, I think. Anyone capable of taking you down is also a threat. I don't think you need to worry about that, Superman says, uncomfortably. You're a human. You'll be fine. Batman just watches him without expression. Superman recalls, too late, that Martian Manhunter is not of Earth, and the Green Lantern uses alien technology, and Wonder Woman is an Amazon. This, of course, leads to the conjecture that Batman actually cares about his teammates, and, well, excuse Superman for not being able to tell. He probably wouldn't torture your friends either, Superman says hastily. First come, first serve, after all. Batman goes still. Although the bright lights illuminate his form, Superman can understand why the people of Gotham mistake him for a shadow or a gargoyle. His shape seems better suited to stone or darkness, rather than a human's soft flesh.
First come, first serve,
Batman repeats. Wouldn't be sporting, Superman says.
No one is torturing anyone here.
That feels inefficient, Superman says.
Pain is not an effective foundation for team relations,
Batman says, so very stiff and proper and offended, and Superman has the urge to laugh.
You don't know pain,
Lex once said, furious and righteous, in 13, as he ground his foot into Clark's hand.
You live on a plane beyond human existence, some high floating place where blood and sweat and tears are just ideas, not physicality. This is nothing, Clark, and it would do you well to remember that.
Normally, it would be nothing. But normally, Clark wouldn't have shards of kryptonite in his hand.
Normally, normally, normally!
Lex didn't like when he thought like that. After all, this was the new normal. You're a team? Superman asks.
What did you think we were?
Superman sits up. He touches the sharp, cold gauntlets, then the harsh angle of Batman's jaw. Batman is motionless under his fingers, although Superman sees his hand stray closer to where he keeps the kryptonite in his belt.
First come, Superman whispers. First serve. If not you, Batman, it's always going to be someone else.
Batman reaches up and takes hold of Superman's wrist, bringing it down and away from his jaw.
We don't do that here, he says.
Everyone does, Superman snaps. It's just a matter of when.
Do you?
Batman asks. He will. One day there will be someone like Clark, someone like Superman, someone the Earth needs contained. And Lex will have Superman be the one to do it. One day. But not today or any of the days before.
Not everyone, Batman says. Not you, not my team, and not me.
We will, though, Superman says. If we live long enough, if we gain enough power, if we find the right person.
You didn't want to kill them, did you?
Batman says. Superman punches him. Batman catches it, of course. Superman punches with his other hand. He kicks and claws and bites, and at one point he starts to scream.
I did! Clark cries. I did! You don't understand, I did!
Everything hurts less when he says yes. Eventually, he forgets to even try to say no. Batman holds him tightly, to keep him from trying to hurt Batman, to keep him from trying to hurt himself. It could almost be mistaken for a hug.
I know,
Batman says.
I know.
The death of Clark Kent was rather mundane in the end. Lex took Clark after school. He said, eyes gleaming with excitement,
I have something to show you.
He showed Clark a glowing green rock, and all Clark knew was pain. He had never felt it before, and as far as introductions go. He woke up in Lex's basement, surrounded by green.
Lex?
Clark called, struggling against the ropes. Normally, he would be able to get out with ease, but the green didn't just hurt. It sapped away all of his strength. He could barely breathe.
Lex, this isn't funny!
You don't understand it yet, Lex said, smoothing back Clark's hair. But you and I are going to save the world. Aliens were coming to Earth, as Lex kindly explained to Clark. And sure, maybe Clark didn't mean any harm, but who knew what kind of person he would be when he grew up? Even if he managed to be a model citizen, the aliens who followed him would not be so kind. With them would come war and bloodshed and enslavement, and the planet would have nothing to defend itself, used as it would be to soft aliens like Clark. Sacrifices had to be made. And so began the great plan. They turn the Red Sun off. They give him a bed. And Wonder Woman is firm in that Clark is allowed to sleep in it. They give him blankets and books, and Batman begins teaching Clark some of the things he lost, after years of being trapped under Lex's thumb. Clark feels impossibly stupid, and half hates, half loves everything Batman tries to help him learn. He should know this already. He should know all of this already.
Is it really you you're angry with?
Black Canary asks him in one of their sessions. It takes Clark a long time, but he manages to say,
No.
He tries holding that thought in his mind. It often escapes him. Being angry with Lex is not... He tries a compromise, to not be angry at all. It doesn't work. Batman finds him in his room with snapped pens at his feet and paper full of math wrinkled into shreds. Superman waits for Batman to hit him, or yell at him, or something. The pens and paper could not have been that expensive, but waste is waste, and it's the principle of the matter. Batman takes him to the kitchen and teaches him how to bake pie. It's militant and rigid, with far more precision of number and detail than Martha ever followed. This is a relief in its own way. Clark doesn't know if he could handle a dash of this or a pinch of that.
He robbed this from you,
Batman tells Clark. He can't tell if Batman is referring to baking, or to schooling, or to experience with life in general. He thinks it might be all three. Sometimes he wants to go back to Lex. With Lex, everything was simple, even if it wasn't easy. He didn't have to make choices. He didn't have to think about anything. He was always, always, always thinking. But they were all the wrong things. They were all the wrong things, and they happened anyway. It would be so easy to go. They don't restrain him. They keep bringing up the suggestion to go to Earth. When you're ready, all their voices chime and blur together. When you're ready, are you ready? He doesn't go back to Lex. He doesn't go to Earth, either, because Earth is Lex and Earth is Superman, and there's too much temptation with Earth for everything to be the way it was. I think I'm a bad person, Clark tells Batman, because he has found Batman is a safe person to say these things to. He doesn't react, but then he doesn't really react to anything. Batman makes a noise that can best be described as a hum. I'm supposed to feel more, Clark says, or I'm supposed to feel less, but I don't really know what to do with the in-between.
You don't always need to know, says Batman, like a hypocrite.
Clark doesn't mind having a little hypocrisy in his life. It's a reminder that normal people have issues too. Or maybe not normal, because no one in the Justice League can be called that, let alone the man who dresses up as a bat to fight crime in his home city. He thinks he'd like that, to be a sort of normal hypocrite too. The end.